Welcome back, one and all, to Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club. What's the first rule of Fife Club?
Talk about it, yeah!
Holy oh my god. Shit.
Well, I'm out.
I am entirely against such public displays of joyfulness.
Yeah. I absolutely do not understand.
It's not my cup of tea, James. No.
I'm howling out of the void.
Yeah, well, fuck you guys.
I kind of feel like we've just had a little bit of cabaret.
Hey man,
we're jazz hands.
Yeah,
there probably was. Yeah.
That's what happens when you have a thespian.
And I think that's very modern. And I'm really in favour. So,
just like good. Australia.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Save the content. Let me get through this. Anyway, as James said, please talk about Fife Club. A wee thanks to Beatty for coming back and joining us. It was bross seeing him and hearing from him. He's away, back door to door in his endless and futile campaign to make Double Deckers great again.
I'm not going to lie, when I first heard he was coming back, I felt very threatened. My position on the show was at risk there. I was like, I want my protocol and Gasteaton to stay. I'll fight him for it. I don't mind.
Oh, wait a minute. Is this another beef?
What's with you beef, James? Jesus Christ.
You've got more beef than the deli at Tesco's. That's all I'm saying. That's the standard of joke I've prepared to for the rest of the thing.
The thing is that Beatty knows how to deal with Tesco deli beef.
He does. Chops it up. And then sells it to you at the shop for really low prices.
I think we should have a Hell in a Cell match in Cowden Beef. With a contract hanging from a suitcase.
Just in the middle for of like the playground.
Yeah, yeah. Mags, James, Dave and B. Yeah.
For the Fife Club seat. Yeah. Number 4 seat.
Cutch will come in halfway through with some crazy stipulation. They think someone will think we're winning. He's like, now you have to do it with one hand.
why can't we just all get along?
Yeah, I agree.
Mark, but guys, you've clearly been on holiday and not at work this week.
Yes.
You're sounding slightly chirpy and positive.
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing like a bit of a rest.
Well, anyway, let's get down to business. With my good self, Kutch, around the mic is our own version of Aquaman. Pure dripping man, it's Jamie.
Hello, that's what the lady's name. Hello.
Aquaman was officially wetter than an otter's pocket.
He was.
Also, more at risk of shark attack than any other superhero. I would suggest.
That is very true.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Dry people don't get attacked by sharks.
It's true.
Dry people don't get attacked by
your
sharks.
Your proximity to water, it's almost like a directly proportional graph to
exactly.
Your danger to shark attack.
He's deep sea as well, so. Yeah.
Acht. Fair enough. Well, across from him is our own Dark Knight, or Brown Knight. It's Shatman. It's Mark.
What? I don't get it.
Cutch has been a very harsh mood tonight.
I'm a Shatman.
Is this a comment on my breeks? Do I smell you? You can never smell yourself.
And across from him is our own red, white and blue Lady of Justice with the Lasso of Calamity. It's Blunder Woman. It's James.
I'm going to take that as a combo, but it's the most aesthetically pleasing of the four of us.
Yeah, very much. Very much. I think you've done all right there, James. And it's Kutch. Yeah. Who's Teen Wolf?
Well, he's either Cyborg or Superman, so...
Well, that's it.
Yeah. I don't know enough about comics to really go into this, but I reckon that I could delve in and find one that looks like you, Kutch.
Maybe it is Superman, because he's slightly turning evil from kind of disappearing.
I kind of went with the DC theme because, well, Justice League's out this week, so...
So it is.
Is that another film that I have to just not bother seeing?
Yeah.
The reviews have not been good as well.
Well, they've been alright.
Now there's been official ones live today.
I was listening and reading a few today that were saying that it's kind of... It's alright if you go in with that expectation of an alright film.
What they said was, It's not good, but it's better than Superman versus Batman. That is not any sort of, that's like any film ever. Yeah. That's not an endorsement.
That is the lowest of the low bar. There's that Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants or something like that.
Don't say a bad word against Centurions in my presence again. I'll fuck you up. No, that's terrible.
Didn't they have like a really long embargo on reviews for this film?
Well, yeah, it was today and it's out tonight, so
fingers.
But then there can be and there can't be. Sometimes they just decide because there might like there's a Superman reveal, but we kind of knew that there was a Superman reveal. Yeah, but it's like, what is a Superman reveal? I think they were sort of saying that they might be trying to keep it, but I don't know. Probably gonna go see it Saturday. So
yeah, cool.
We'll just throw my money at it. I have to. Can't not. But yeah. So that is us this week. We are all here and happy, apparently. Mark?
Hi, we're in all right mood.
Yeah.
You're crypto mate.
All right.
I've never seen who crypto is.
I don't know who that is either.
He's basically a flying dog with a cape.
Oh, right. It's Superman's dog. Right. Superman's dog.
Wait a minute. Superman doesn't have a dog.
He does. Yeah, he likes dogs.
But like, what does Superman do with the dog? Like, he's like, oh right, we must save the world. Oh shit, I've got to go to feed the dog. Like,
he likes dogs, but he likes caravans more.
What a game!
Does he have a super caravan? Oh, that's Fortress Solitude. Yeah.
What a game of fetch he'd have. Just lobs that ball around the globe. He's gone for 3 hours.
If he's in trouble, he gets some kryptonite. He's thrown away from him. His dog keeps bringing it back.
No. But the dog wouldn't be able to because he's also powered by Earth's sun and he doesn't like kryptonite.
Is he a dog from Krypton?
Yeah.
But this is ridiculous.
He's blown up though.
No, he ended up in a pod as well. I can't remember the story of how fucking
because you can't remember because it's ridiculous.
It's comics, mate. That's
I know. I know. But also, there's got to be some grounding in like some sensible reality, doesn't there?
No,
you're absolutely right. Just throw your money at it, can't you? It's all fucking rubbish.
Can you imagine this, like taking it for a walk? It's like, time for a walk. You just look at you, go, what the fuck? I can fly.
What does he eat? The pedigree charm? I don't know.
Probably. Criminal remains.
If Superman was smart, he'd brand his own dog food after his super dog to lesser mortal dogs.
Right. Yeah. All under the false premise that you could become the super dog.
Yeah.
Like your dog. Yeah. Wait, that would require dogs to be sentient, Jamie.
No, it's your owners you're selling to, mate.
Oh, yeah. But oh, very good point. Unlike Kevin Hague, I'm not a success in dog food sales. Okay. That's one for the old Nats versus Unionists. Right there. Hello. And this new thing, his new blog as well.
No, I've seen it.
It's called Something Island. It's
I have seen it.
Yeah, it's like him, a historian, and a couple other people have put together a blog got everybody to write about the great things about being part of the union. Torrance is involved and things like that as well. Mm. Anyway, I digress.
You do digress.
Flying dogs. Hey, fucking hell.
What world we would have funked? I don't
know. Nah.
Something else for Zack Snyder to spoil. Anyway.
Why has Zack Snyder not been found in some kind of sex crime thing?
Because he's...
Give it time.
I reckon, give it time, judging by the style and approach to cinema.
Yeah.
What was that one? Punch? Sucker Punch. Yeah. I mean, like, as Mark Kermode said, it has a pornographic quality to it.
Yeah.
He's a CD bastard, surely. Come on, it's about time he gets.
I think they're leaving him alone because, the suicide of his daughter last year. So,
I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah. All
right. That's why he stopped directing Justice League.
That's really harsh. I feel bad. You're a terrible filmmaker, Zach. And I'm unsure whether you're a good man. But on this plus
nobody wishes that on anyone.
Sorry. But no, that's awful. Quite sad for that though.
Yeah.
Wow, thanks. I told you I was in a happy mood. Look at your thumb catch.
Brought you back down. Just getting you prepared for next week.
Yeah.
You've had your high. Let's tear you.
Time for crushing lows once
more. Tear you a few strips. So, will we go into some news?
Yeah.
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 Should we do some socials first?
Oh, actually, yeah.
Why not?
Mark,
oh, intermission.
I love how everybody else is on the ball with us, but me. Seamless.
And people have been talking to us.
They have been.
I'll just point out that people have been talking to us as well, which is really nice that people have been talking to us.
And liking us, and retweeting us, and sharing us every week. We absolutely appreciate it. Just keep at it.
If you'd like to do it more, then do so on Facebook at facebook.com/fiveclubpod or at fiveclub, Twitter at fiveclub. Email Ken at fiveclub.co.uk, Instagram fiveclub, or on www.fiveclub.co.uk.
Perfect.
But I'd also say not too much either, guys, because I get really annoyed if I have too many notifications at any given time. So it's like, we want you to get in touch, but we don't want you to be needy. It isn't social work.
Yeah. Let me tell you that. Right, that's a fair point.
Yeah.
It's all right. If you really feel the need to be needy, Twitter, because I'm the only one that mans that. So, you know, Mark doesn't see it.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Pretty much. Yeah,
Instagram as well. You know, I still don't really understand how that works, but I try.
Well, Mags is not here, so I better ask the question. Have you posted any pictures on Instagram?
Yeah, again, the usual point.
Yeah. I like to put a picture the other day.
Oh, it was good.
My picture for last week's episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it.
The most interesting DE in the world.
Yeah.
With his doolies and his doolies glasses.
Yeah.
See,
he's like always kind of sophisticated.
I'd always come back on the podcast, but when I do, I drink doolies.
He was absolutely rat-arsed on doolies.
Yeah. It was the fact that I managed to find that there is an official doolies glass as well, and it's like this round thing with doolies on the front of it.
I think I've just realised why he loves doolies. It's as close as you can get to liquid double decker.
So true.
Apart from a pint of arsenic. Well, that still hurts.
Well, since we were talking about movies, I'll talk about my news.
Yeah.
Which is...
You're in a movie.
I am.
You're in a blockbuster.
Oh, wait, you've been accused of something.
The next Fantastic Beasts. Yeah, no. I'm a beast. More ways than one. No.
Been accused of something.
Yeah. No. They are making another video game movie. Do you know what it is? Super Mario Brothers.
Who's got
the people. Oh, you thought it couldn't be worse than the first film. How wrong you were.
No, it was perfect. It was cinematic perfection.
Bob Hoskins' best film, I think we can all agree.
Yeah. Did it not have like 9 directors in the end? And it was
a mess.
It was on shoot rewrites, like literally rewriting as they were shooting, and just oh man,
so bad. But you thought it couldn't be any worse. Apart from the song, Stupid Dinosaur, which I think we can all agree is fine. Yeah. Which I was in the jazz club, this was a couple of years ago now, but they started playing that and everybody lost their shit. That's it, it was amazing. A live band. But the studio who's making it is the same studio that does the Minions movies.
Illumination.
I don't know.
So is it going to be a CG film?
I believe so.
I'm a bit more like... I think that might be all right.
I think it might be all right, but it'll be made by people who make the Minions.
Yeah. I have no problem with the Minions.
I don't like the Minions.
I like Despicable Me. I don't like the Minions.
I think the problem was the Minions were an excellent bit of comic relief in Despicable Me. Yeah, whereas when you bring your own film, you jump the
shark.
But
kids absolutely love it.
They do.
Again, it is what the government told us doesn't exist. It's a money tree.
But I mean, we judge shamelessly, but are we not products of that very same thing? Did we not love Transformers and Thundercats and things like Ghostbusters, all to sell the toys? Did we not?
Yeah. It isn't kids loving it that drove me mental. It was the proliferation of minion memes.
Yeah, which had nothing to do with Minions.
That especially sort of mums would share.
Yeah.
And it would be like, Jamie inspirational.
Hates
mothers. I do.
Note to mum, isn't it?
It'd be an inspirational message with Minions.
Your classic, am I doing this right? Yeah. It's like, no, you're not. I don't get... It's like, was it EE cards where it was like the Victorian...
Yeah.
You know, a Victorian woman with a you know, inspirational message or a, you know, I can't be fucking doing this type thing. But then they started... been on ones with Minions on them. Yeah. It's just like, what?
I was going to say the EE ones, like the Victorian one. That was all right. It was a nice thing that happened for a while.
It seemed to kind of cross over into this Minion thing. And it was like just people that didn't understand how the internet works.
There's a great drawn by Jumel Painter on Facebook, mm-hmm. which is someone asked him to draw a dystopian future where minions in control, and it's like police officers dressed as minions, like dragging people away. Yeah. And it's absolutely brilliant.
It's like a Saturday night out in Hull with minions involved.
Wow. It's like, have you seen you've seen it, it was about a year ago or 2 years ago, was the most British picture ever, and it was like in Manchester.
It was a night out, yeah.
And it was just like, somebody KO'd, there was somebody like partying, there was police, and there was like tackling, it was just like, everything that shouts UK.
I saw that in a meme, which was how the USA sees the UK, and it was like the royal family, and it was, you know, House of Lords and all, and it was how the rest of Europe sees the UK.
Absolute classic.
But going back to the Mario thing, I think I'm going to hold my judgment until I see the cast. That's when I'll start getting grumpy, depending on who's been cast.
But it'll just be voice acting, though.
Yeah, but voice acting
is important.
It is. But
well, it depends if they get the. Although I think Nintendo fell out with the guy that originally voiced Mario.
This is the thing. Nintendo Miyamoto is a producer on it.
Aye,
and Nintendo are going to have. Because they had a very hands-off approach to the first one. Yeah, weren't involved in the production.
They just sold the rights because it was like, hey, money.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But apparently they're going to be heavily involved.
You could imagine why. I mean, look at the animated series.
Yeah.
There, you know, when we were growing up, there was a couple of different Mario Brother animated series, and they were all right. You know.
Do you what I'd love to see is an animated Zelda thing. Oh, yeah. Sort of in the fashion of something like Kubo and the Two Strings.
Two Strings, yeah. A Netflix series.
That'd be really cool to see.
I've got a funny feeling I've heard something actually along those
lines. Oh, really?
They're doing a Castlevania Netflix series.
Yeah, I don't know what that's like. I've never.
They've got the first four episodes on it. Like, season one's four episodes long. It was really good. I was like, give us one episode, Joe. That's all I'm saying. But it was really
that the Castlevania?
Yeah.
I'd never heard anything at all about that, and it was just sat there on the front of my Netflix. I was like, I'm going to watch that. And actually, it was really good.
I only watched like half the first episode. I still haven't watched the rest of it.
It's really well done.
Catch up.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched Voltron?
No.
It's really quite good. It's got Rhys Darby in it as well, and he's just basically Rhys Darby, but yeah, it's quite fun. It's kind of a little bit of
it's like sort of Power Rangers
meets Transformers, and done in that manga, you know, sort of classic manga style, kind of a bit like Robotech, and
it's got big cats. Others.
Yeah,
big cats.
It's
Netflix are investing hard as well in their original manga series.
That's because Disney are about to pull everything from them. So,
oh really?
Oh yeah, they are. Yeah, because they're starting their own streaming service.
Yeah,
which is why they're doing a Star Wars TV series
as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are doing another trilogy of films as well.
Yep.
Yeah. Fuck.
But Disney outside, but
completely detached from the. Current.
They must be really happy with Last Jedi then.
Aye, that's a massive confidence shout on that film, because it's Rian Johnson, the guy that's directed Last Jedi, that's spearheading this new trilogy. So,
which I guess is why when
he didn't jump straight into
the next one, because when he didn't do it, everybody was like, "Oh, maybe we don't like Last Jedi." Yeah. Then. But obviously, it's because he has this to do. Yeah. But he has to do all the pre-production on. And
yep.
Probably wants to direct another film in the meantime as well.
Yeah, totally.
Anyway.
But yeah, no, that's interesting.
When is the Last Jedi out, by
the way? It's December, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it's a few weeks away now, isn't it?
Yeah.
End of the first week of December?
Something like that.
The 6th sounds like something familiar for some reason. I might be wrong.
I think it's the 15th or 16th or something.
I am quite looking forward to it. And I think we're sort of maybe talking about doing something straight afterwards. Like,
oh yeah, reaction.
Yeah, yeah, take the mics along and... even if it's sitting in the car and just giving a
brief review.
Not sure you could have done that after Blade Runner 2049.
Still just haven't seen it.
The aftermath of your brain being melted.
Fair dues. I've got a little bit of news to bring to us. It's very local news. It's about the podcast itself.
We're all dying.
Yeah.
Give
yeah.
us money. We all need money for operations.
Let's start a Patreon. Yeah. Or a drip, the new Kickstarter thing. Which is like Patreon.
Yeah.
a drip what?
They've launched a new thing today called uh-huh. Drip.
Oh, I think it's for like drip. Podcasts and stuff.
Yeah, so because right. they didn't have that.
Right, so it is. Yeah. I just didn't direct.
Fuck it, let's start both.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah,
we'll invent illnesses. It's fine.
Exactly. Little Penman really needs sex.
Why'd you call me little?
I don't know. Just, I'm trying to sell you, Penman.
Well, you start by selling me by body shaving me. Wow.
Little Penman needs specialist treatment for his height in the United States.
Well, that's harsh.
He needs some special platform shoes.
Already wear left. So that's not notice.
Jamie needs liposuction.
Oh, see what you did there.
I know.
Totally random, this came into mind just as we're talking about this, but a couple of like last week I went to Edinburgh. There was a homeless guy, and his way to try and get people to give him money was to sing. Fair enough. No, he sang fucking awful, so he was getting people to pay him to stop singing.
That's a great
thing. It was horrendous.
You've got to find your market.
You I love that guy. Right?
Yeah. That guy's my personal hero.
It's like,
in fairness, it is a USP. So you know,
that was it. And it was just like, so I was like, you're going to stop fucking pay me then. And it was like, all right, fair enough.
Oh my God. That guy's incredible.
I was a fucking
fucking
genius.
Everyone else's day and making money from it. Oh, I love him.
So if you guys want to pay us to stop making podcasts,
that is our USP.
The best part of it is someone's going to pay him to stop singing, and he's not going to stop singing. He's just going to keep going. He's like, ah, fuck it, I've got your money now, I don't care.
But you've got to have a level of decency though to move around the corner.
Yeah, you move bit. To the next point.
Yeah,
or have a price list for like, you know, how much for how long I'll stop
for
singing.
Yeah, yeah. Like so, £2 for 20 seconds.
Especially if you're sitting outside like an office block on a warm day when all the windows yes. are open, and then it's yes. just like they'll just come down.
I'll give
and,
you 50 quid and just go somewhere else.
There's a grand.
Shut up. Anyway, podcast.
Podcast, yes. So we've got a wee bit of news. We are going to be at Dunfermline Comic Con on the 3rd of March. We've got tickets and we've been chatting with the guys that organise it from the Little Shop of Heroes in the main gate in Dunfermline. And they are more than happy for us to come along and bring some mics and have a chat with basically anybody that wants to chat with us.
The only thing I know about Comic Cons is what I've seen in the Big Bang Theory. Yeah. Do we have to dress up?
We don't have to.
Okay. Are you dressing up?
No.
Teen Wolf?
Fight Club. I'm going to come as a giant bar of soap.
I will make that costume for you. I will sit all night and make you a giant bar of soap out of soap. That surely can't be difficult, guys.
I'm just thinking it's going to look like a dildo in the end, isn't it?
If you've got a bar of soap, you need Ed the Duck and Gordon the Gopher as well. Let's get through our most infamous characters.
Yeah, you
can I come as Philip Schofield? You come as Philip Schofield. Put my hand up James's ass.
Ed the Duck. Gordon the Gopher.
I'm not skinny enough and emaciated and looking trafficked enough to be Gordon the Gopher, sadly.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Lovely.
I'll go as a honey badger, it's fine.
Amazing. That and
I get later dressed as a honey badger. yeah.
Oh dear, that's almost horrific. I could go dressed up as everybody.
Oh, you could get furries. You could be like a furry honey badger.
Absolutely. My normal market's bronies, but yeah, no, fine. All in favour.
But yeah, I think we're also going to try and organise a wee meet up with the guys at Little Shop of Heroes as well, and go in and have a chat with them, and maybe do a wee episode from there. So that's still to be planned and organised. But yeah, we're definitely working on that one.
I think they've got a free comic book event come up as well.
They have free comic book day. That's like every year. Yeah. As well. So yeah, that they usually put on. A little bit of glitz there and get folk to dress up and come along and handing out free comics.
Do you know what? That's bloody cool that we've got a little shop doing that. Like,
it is.
Again, yeah. It's not my type of thing, but it's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's not my thing as well, but see if I was growing up at the time, I would have fucking loved that.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Like, totally. You know, I would have absolutely
this time
loved
of year,
it.
it's, you know, it's a great shop because they've got, it's not just comics, they've got comics, comic books, books, they've got merchandise, you know, it's toys and all sorts, you know, collectibles and...
Yeah, exactly, Christmas or something like that. Like, if you're, I don't know, like, maybe your kid or your your brother or whatever or something like that, like Superman or something like that, you know.
There's stuff,
like,
in there.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
And I think they also do vouchers, yes. I've had a voucher from them before as well at Christmas. So, you know, it is kind of ideal. I mean, I love it because I've got my file, basically, that I go in every month. And
well, you've always been on file, can't
I go in and they've got like a filing cabinet, a little drop box, and I go in and I have my, what, 4 or 5 comics that I lift every month. And
by lift, he means pays for.
Just lift them out the drop box and pay for them.
It's just robbery.
You know, it's
not
again,
like Jamie in the library.
Again, the fact that they run that service.
I took that book back the other day. I took it back and I paid my fine. I've paid my debt to society.
But yeah, no, like I say, I absolutely love that they're there. And they've, I think it's, they've found a really good niche for the area. Yeah, it's good, and long may they reign in the town.
And it seems to be really successful as well.
I think
every time I go past there, it seems like there's lots of people yelling around and
people playing tabletop games.
Yeah, well,
as well,
that's like it's got the games room as well, so that's a new added bonus. I think Saturday Sundays there's folk down there all the time.
I say it's not my thing, but I've bought a few comics from there myself.
What I quite like is that, I mean, we've got Watterson's, which is all right for graphic novels, but I think Little Shop Heroes has a much more extensive range as well. It's that thing like where I've maybe gone on to Amazon, had a look, and be like, oh, I could order that, and yeah, I've got Primer, probably get it in a day or two. But again, it's nice to know that I've got a local supplier, you know, a local independent shop that that is there that I can go in and, yeah, just lift a copy there and then.
And you want to support them as well.
That's it. It's that ability to do that, where once upon a time it would have meant a train over to Edinburgh. So I would have more likely have just bought off of, you know, an online source.
There's something about like having the good service as well, going in, having a chat.
But that's
well.
It, you go
that's
in
how you learn about other things that you're going to be interested
exactly.
in. Is somebody being there to say, like, that's like the death of the video shop.
Yeah.
For me, like, when we were in Edinburgh, well, I was in Edinburgh and you lived with me more or less, but we went to Alphabet Video in Watchmen. Like, a lot of films I would never have seen because I saw them because I went into a shop. The guy says, if you like that, you'll like this. That kind of service as well, like, it's totally
there was a great shop like that in Dundee as well. I can't remember what it was called, but it was fucking great. And it was very, they had lots of films I would never normally watch as well, but they quite often say, oh, you like this, you like that, you know, DVD shop.
Little shop of heroes, keep it coming.
Yes, definitely. And as I say, we'll hopefully catch up with them in the near future. And one last little bit, and I don't know if we've talked about this or not, but we are looking to make our way the following weekend. So that's the 3rd of March, Little Shop of Heroes, Dunfermline Comic Con. The next weekend, the 10th of March, is the Fife Whiskey Festival in Cooper.
We have been
in contact with the guys there, and they are more than happy for us to come along again with the mics. So I think we're going to get ourselves organised for that. And the Coal Town Daisies are good friends. They'll be playing as well, so... We'll catch up with them and...
A Fife Club bonanza that day.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it will be.
Everything you want.
Yeah. Just missing a Doogie Walker, I think. Doogie.
We need Doogie back on soon.
Well, I was thinking maybe...
I was chatting with him a couple of weeks ago when I said that.
Thinking that I'd get in contact. So if you're listening, Doogie, be prepared. We're going to ask you to come back on. And this time we're not going to absolutely, pummel you with questions about Canada and what it's like being a Scot abroad. You'll come on and just be a normal everyday guest.
You're not a real human.
You're just a voice at the
headphone. Don't even know you've got a corporeal form.
You're like a Tupac hologram.
that's been the news from me anyway. So anybody else got anything?
Yes, lads. I saw Jesus.
Oh God, he really has.
It's our podcast very own soul who is my Paul.
Oh my God. Just to say, guys, I saw Jesus. and he was made of pastry and wrapped around a sausage. Greg's, what are you doing apologising, Greg's? This is insane.
It was beautiful.
If you cannot have a sense of humour about the baby Jesus in a manger, which is represented by a sausage roll, then no offence, but you just don't deserve to live. Really. If you can't
see the funny side of that. Yeah. Yeah.
Was it as part of an advent calendar?
Yeah, it was.
Uh-huh. It's beautiful.
I mean, there is nothing we worship more in Scotland than
a Greg sausage roll.
I can just hear an angelic voice in my head. Away in a manger.
Yeah. Oh. I'm just trying to make a joke out of that. I've got nothing on coming up dry.
No,
which is the opposite to a little sausage roll.
Lay down these sweet and savoury head. It's terrible.
But yeah, like, I don't know what you guys felt about it. Like, there's these bits. I'm not going to go there. Well, it's all political correctness gone mad or any of that stuff. But just, can people just not take a joke? People cannot take a joke about anything anymore.
Yeah, they really can't. No, it's everyone's getting very, very. We're living in an age now where people want to get outraged.
Yeah,
they find the smallest thing and get very outraged by it. It's like,
and the thing is, though, it's usually a small contingent of people that are just making a very loud noise.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's the thing.
When they say Christians as well, most Christians won't give a fuck.
Yeah,
it'll be like a group of hardcores who are like, "Oh, this is awful."
And again. Or it's either hardcores or it's like non-practicing who suddenly have seen something and have decided
I must be outraged.
I must be offended by this.
I will write a letter to the Times.
Yeah. The people who only go to church on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve piss me off.
I can't remember what I was listening to, but they came up with a quite interesting theory that all these people that go on Twitter and Facebook and are all outraged about these things, their theory was that people get satisfied by being outraged. Because they get angry or upset at something, it's almost like this kind of dopamine in your brain just makes you feel a lot more relaxed, makes you feel happy by being outraged at these things. So they look for all these really silly things and just make complaints and moan about all these things because it makes them feel good.
And they get attention out of it as well.
Totally.
They get the retweets and things like that as well.
It's that classic bottom half of the internet.
So I haven't seen a lot of the coverage of it. I just saw that this happened and it got pulled. What I can fully and utterly imagine is that somewhere on the internet there's some arsehole practicing some extreme excellent version of whataboutery and going, "Well, you wouldn't do that with Muhammad and a Muslim, would you? And not realizing that making Muhammad out of pork would be amongst the worst things you could possibly do. Those two things are not equivalent by any stretch of the imagination.
I'm excited about going into my thing in a bit, but there was that other thing that came out. Like, people were putting complaints to Ofcom for that Christmas advert with Paddington Bear, where the guy says, clearly, "Thank you, Bear," but people were putting complaints in as if he said, "Fuck you, Bear." It's like,
really?
Yeah, it's like, how can you not, like, tell that, the difference between "thank you" and "fuck you"? There's, it just, no. I was raging about that. It's like, how can you think that?
I absolutely hate everyone. Good God.
Again, I say it once more, it's time for the asteroid to take We're done. We're absolutely bloody done.
Well, on a note of terrible TV as well, and asteroids, I've been watching a series on Netflix called Salvation. It's truly awful, but somehow compelling me to watch it. It's so bad. It's about an asteroid coming to hit the Earth. And someone who's clearly meant to be Elon Musk, who's meant to save us all, with an EM drive, which is a fake technology.
Is this funded by Elon Musk?
It might as well fucking be. It's like a guy who builds rockets and wants to colonise Mars.
It's his dream. He's just sitting there thinking, one day I will save the world with an imaginary piece of technology. Yes. Just like looking at the ceiling.
I just need to get it to scale.
Need to not have lawsuits against me for my workplaces being hotbeds of racism.
Well, like, I understand the feeling you have though about watching a TV show that's terrible, right? And we've discussed it long enough that I don't really particularly get sci-fi. But for some reason I watched a program called Falling Skies, which is utterly terrible.
It's so bad.
It has rubber faced aliens. It has everything I should hate.
Was that not the one that was Steven Spielberg backed?
Yes,
with Noah Wiley
the main character.
Dr. Carter.
Which is a shame because I quite like him.
Yeah, that's all I can think of him in it. He's meant to be a history professor. And all I can think of is, hey, mate, why don't you get George Clooney on the phone?
Yeah, exactly. Have some banter. late 90s banter between the two of you. Oh, Dr. Ross, Dr. Carter.
It's the guy from that, the... I'm trying to remember his name. The guy who is sort of... He's like a bad guy at first, and then he starts fighting for him, and he's kind of... That's a terrible description.
The guy that looks like Bret the Hitman Hart. He looks like a wino Bret the Hitman Hart.
Maybe, yeah. He's like one of the lead characters in Blood Drive, which is a terrible TV show, but it's really fucking good. It's not like Falling Skies or something. It's terrible, but amazing, because it knows it's so shit. It's great, I love it. Watch Blood Drive. They cancelled it, the fucks. They gave it one series.
You were the only person watching it.
Looking at the viewing numbers, that seems fairly so fucking good.
Wow. No, I don't. What was that on?
Sci-fi.
No, I never caught it. But sci-fi's got so much shit on it.
Yeah. But Blood Drive's good shit. And they're recommissioning bad shit. Does my head in.
Yeah. On that note, Star Trek. Mid-season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it was a good episode.
Should I just go now? Well, I can't because this is my house. No, carry on, guys. Yeah. Carry on. I'll just take a break. Flick through Twitter or something.
I'll just say that, be very quick, but I'll just say that it's becoming more like Star Trek, and I think they're starting to sort of figure out what they are.
Yeah.
And I think after this season break, it
will just kick into a whole other gear. I think we've clearly just finished the whole sort of story and we're going into something possibly Voyager-esque, but and I don't mind that if that's what they do, as long as it's not for the next like 10 seasons. But
spoiler alert, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I think it's going to be, I think, you know, we were talking about, oh, these bits for its pockets, like different dimensions. Is the mirror universe thing true? Because that's what everybody's been saying online about, oh, please don't do that. That's a big cop out. But I think they might be in a mirror universe.
Yeah.
Which would be shit. But I will say that I think Lorca is becoming one of my favourite characters.
Oh, he's amazing. He's just brilliant.
Because he's a total ruthless bastard. Yeah. Which I like. I'm ruthless. Like, yes, he's not trying to be your mate. He's a complete cunt.
But that's it.
But he'll win you this war.
Yeah, but that's it. It's like, you don't not trust him.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know every move that he's making. Like, he's manipulating people all the time. Yeah, yeah. But you know he's doing that. And you know he's doing it because he thinks he's doing it for the good of... good of the Federation, good of humanity, good of the galaxy. But
right. Star Trek over. You can come back in now. Yeah.
For the good of galaxy. Just add a little bit of caramel, you know. So. That's all I've got. Yeah.
Do we have any more news stories?
Well, I've got something. Kind of goes off the back of what you were talking about. So, recently...
Jesus.
Oh, I wish it was. But recently...
he's my favourite Jesus. If Jesus was a sausage roll, right? I'd be much more interested. But sausage roll performing miracles. Come on.
You would get loaves and veggies, would you?
No. Oh, my God. And if you were a Catholic, you'd get little bits of sausage roll.
Which
are ideally sized
already.
Yeah. With a glass of fat.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. And he turned water into iron brew as well. Even better.
Beautiful.
So anyway, going back to what Benjamin was saying. We're in the kind of time now. Christmas is being advertised. It's all over the shop. There's Christmas songs starting to play. So a week or so ago, there was a study that came out and said that having Christmas songs play in retail in different places is detriment to your mental health.
Oh, fucking right, yeah.
Well, I'm a bit mixed on this because I work in a supermarket chain. I will not name it. But it was like, I quite enjoy Christmas to me. I quite enjoy a few Christmas songs now and again. That's not my problem. I'm quite happy to listen to Christmas songs all day. I'm the kind of guy, I'm Christmas daft when it comes up to it, so I'm the kind of guy that'll listen to songs at work, like, yeah, go home and put on Magic on the telly and have like a 50 best Christmas songs. I'm that kind of guy.
I don't even know you.
But the thing,
James, you're too joyful.
Yeah.
You like Christmas songs. You might be getting booted, mate. No,
booty's coming back.
But the thing is, one of the stores in London they interviewed, this was like in October, like, they were talking to them in October and said that, we start putting songs on like mid-October. So they do one song out of every four. Then once it gets to Halloween, they'll do two songs out of every four. Halfway through November, it's three out of every four. And they get to Christmas, mid-November, it's four out of every four. So my point is, when's the earliest to start this business now? Because it's getting earlier and earlier every year. Like, to the point now where once it hits Halloween, as soon as it goes to, like, midnight, bam, Christmas are already there. It's already set up good to go. Like, my work.
Even before then.
We used to
Yeah.
I had an absolute freak out at my boss today because she came in and mentioned the words. So I'm thinking about my daughter's, but I'm thinking about my daughter's Christmas for next year.
Oh, I was like, what?
What are you saying to me? It's like,
next year?
Honestly, see when they start talking about bloody Christmas nights out in July, I lose my shit. Like, I can't deal with it. Mm. Like, why are we talking about Christmas?
You gotta book your space.
Why are we talking about Christmas in July?
It's crazy.
But it's that you've got to book your space now. That's mental. Why? Why do we have to book it now? Can't places just wait until fucking November before they open up their books?
I suppose it's all about that money, isn't it? They want to make their money.
But they'll still make their money.
Yeah, totally. They will. It's just crazy that they feel the need now to make it so much earlier. It's such a competitive market. I get that. But come on now, let's be reasonable.
Like, it's one day.
One day a year. I stop going to enjoy it myself.
Well, wait. 12 days of Christmas. That's 12 sausage rolls.
It also depends which Christmas you're going for. Most of the world celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve. The Dutch have their Sinterklaas on the 5th of December.
Let's not talk about the Dutch and their practices.
Sinterklaas is a very touchy issue.
Sinterklaas is blacked up.
Yeah. Holy hit, the Schwarte Piets.
Yeah.
That is not good. That is not good. But absolutely. I completely agree with you. I mean, obviously, it's basically driven by retailers because they can't sell enough, shift enough product during the rest of the year. So they have to bring Christmas forward and create an artificial panic for it.
Again, it's like folk telling me in September that they've done their Christmas shopping.
Why not be a real person and do it on the 23rd?
Exactly. Exactly.
Gosh, we every year had a very strong routine going, which was we would go to Edinburgh in one day, buy the majority of our presents in one day. Get pitched.
Yeah.
We were gins. Yeah, we were done by about 2 o'clock and in the pub, necking gin.
It's amazing what that incentive does for Christmas shopping.
Gosh, I don't have time for you anymore. Just buy it already.
The gin won't wait.
I think there was one year we went across with my good wife and she was like, right, I'm going away to do a few bits and pieces. Leave you guys to go and do what you need to do. And we're like, all right. And I think she was away for about 2 hours and we'd been about 15 minutes doing what we needed to do. And the rest of the time we sat in the Scotsman.
Efficiency, gosh. Efficiency. Going out with the game plan.
About 4 gins down.
So I'm just going to put it out there, right? Christmas shouldn't... Nothing Christmassy should happen until December.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't put up your Christmas decorations until about the 12th.
12th, yeah.
Yeah, we do 12 days at my house. We wait till the 13th and then just do 12 days.
Do you know what? I accept Christmas chat. I'll accept Christmas chat from November. Start of November. And then, like...
Over the top. Just
but then maybe things like... your Christmas channels and your Christmas music from mid to late November.
Yeah.
But see, when you work in a place like I do, which has televisions all around you that are...
Holidays are coming.
They're on the Christmas music channels from the start of November. You can only hear... because again, they're rinsing anything that has a Christmas theme. You can only listen to... To Become One, and a proper bowl Christmas.
That's some good Christmas songs.
No, but you can only listen to them so many times before you start wanting to claw your eyes out.
If you're in that situation, you need some love like you never needed love before.
I'm just going to give a heads up.
Proper Crimbo, that's it. Proper Crimbo by Avid Marion.
On the notes of like Christmas songs, I'm not going to talk about it now, but in the coming weeks, be prepared for a massive rant about East fucking 17's Christmas song. It's not a Christmas song. Fuck yous. Don't care who you are.
Do you know what you're going to hear loads this year is Last Christmas, even more than usual.
Oh, yes! Because he died on Christmas Day. That was the weirdest thing.
You're going to hear that constantly.
That was the kick in the balls of 2016. Yeah.
Which is like, a good Christmas. I don't mind it.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking...
It was a good year. But
aye. Yeah.
George.
I forgot he was gone.
That was... I thought that's when 2016 went too far. It's like, we've had all this death. And then George Michael on Christmas Day.
By all accounts, George Michael was sound as fuck.
Yeah, I know.
Given people who, you know, like anonymously and... Also, just giving money to people and socialist, all this stuff.
He also had what's the term I'm looking for? Like a sense of humour about himself. He was
Definitely self-deprecating. Yeah, all that
self-deprecating.
Yeah,
I think I've told this story before, but one of my memories of not long after he had been caught in the toilets in LA, and that was all over the press, big scandal and everything. And he was on Radio 1, and I think it was Simon Mayo. It was an interview with Simon Mayo, and he basically came on, and it was like, right, before we start, well, we just get them out of the way. And it was like, get what out of the way? It was like, all the jokes. And he was just like, right, so what's the difference between George Michael and a microwave? A microwave stops when you open the door. he just went into this tirade of jokes. And I remember just like absolutely killing myself because he just laid it out on the table and was just like, yeah, that happened.
You made it.
This is what it was. You know what? The joke's brilliant. Love them. And he owned it, basically. And, you know, I think, yeah, it was obviously a lewd act and probably shouldn't have been doing it, but... At the same time,
I mean, these days, does that not seem incredibly tame?
Very tame. Yeah, at least it was all consenting. Yeah, you know, apart from the police women that opened to the door on him, everything else
a pot plan.
Yeah,
everything else. And then his next video was it based in a disco, a toilet that turned into a disco.
And there's a scene with him getting dragged out of it as well.
He was all right.
And here's a thought, like, if last year was a year of, like, celebrities dying and George Michael died...
Wait, what? Celebrities dying?
Sorry. If 2016 was the year of celebrities dying...
Oh, right.
George Michael died on Christmas Day...
Do you think he's going to come back to life?
No, I was going to say...
That's a great sausage.
This is the year of, like, people coming out through sexual harassment and stuff. I'm telling you now, if the lead singer of Wizard gets done for sexual harassment on Christmas Day, I'm fucking done. I'm out.
Roy Wood is a high contender for that.
Exactly. It's like that comes out in Christmas morning, I'm fucking out.
Oh, I don't want to bet against that.
That does not mean saying that. It means you can go on an investigation just to track it down. Don't, because I really can't deal with that on Christmas.
No, I think you probably should. If there's rumours for an investigation,
just ruin my Christmas.
Are we still allowed to listen to Slade?
Yeah.
Alright, okay.
Why are we not allowed to listen to Slade?
I don't know. That always...
The postman that used to deliver mail to my old office with the spitting image of Michael.
Maybe it was.
Yeah, maybe what he's doing.
Like, although this time of year he does all right because he goes in and he updates Noddy's Christmas chart on whatever MTV Christmas.
Think how much he must rake in royalties. It'll be insane.
Oh my God,
every year.
Every single year.
Like he must just sit there and just be like...
But that's what they've said. It's like, it doesn't matter what you do in music. All you want to do is make a Christmas number one. Yeah. Or even a Christmas song that does well. Because if you do a Christmas song that does well, you could disappear into obscurity, but that song will get played to death from November.
Speaking of that, I watched the Antiques Road Trip today. Right. Chesney Hawkes was on it.
What? I am the one and only.
Yeah. There's like this antique show where like two like former celebrities get in a vintage car and they get shown around by like two antiques experts. The fucking world that I live in. and then there's a competition, so it's like basically Bargain Hunt with like a bit of added celebrity angle. And I quite fancy the female presenter, the antiques expert, Christina something. Bloody hell. Hello. That's my new weird crush.
That and Sandy Tosswig.
Nah. No offence to Sandy, but, you know, not my type. I'm not her type.
Nah, I'll keep that one to myself. Yeah, cool. Well, I think that's us done for news. We've had our rants.
Yeah,
rants and raves. So, shall we go for a little trip out onto the fourth and see where we'll end up?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. You know what's going to happen, eh?
I predict that we'll have a lovely journey.
Yeah. We will steer nowhere near Inchcombe.
Well, just that it'll be lovely. There'll be
I'm sure the weather's calm at this time of the year.
Exactly. Might even be warm and sunny. Put in a hat. Put some sun cream on, Kutch. You're getting a bit red.
Yeah, we're going to crash.
Yeah.
So, is it that time?
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we're going back to Desert Island Dex.
Buy a better boat, Kutch, for fuck's sake.
It's a different fucking boat each week.
This is why we need a bigger boat.
No, because just like a sausage, like sausage roll Jesus, ours is a boat made out of pastry. It's fine. All the animals are 2x2 and wrapped in pastry.
Pigs and blankets. Oh dear, so yeah, that's actually probably a good reason why
we need a Patreon. It's because we keep crashing boats. Yeah. Do you realise how expensive it is to run this podcast? Every second week we crash a boat.
It's fuel is expensive.
Yeah. We've got a hollowed out steak Bridey as a boat. Now.
Yeah.
Which neatly brings us into what are we going to bring to the island this week? Well, we thought we would talk about on topic with pastry.
Riffing on the world of pastries, yeah.
Baby Jesus. Mm. What pastries would we bring to the island? However, we kind of decided that it would quite clearly be 4 steak Bridies, so there's not much variation in that. So we have a unlimited steak Bridey dispenser. We don't know how it gets filled, but it does. magic Stevens.
Well, I have seen the Stevens van. So I can only presume that they now
have a jet ski.
Oh, yeah. Or, yeah, at least some kind of boat that comes out.
For April Fool's a couple of years ago, they did claim they were going to start doing drone deliveries of Fridays.
Yes.
Which was excellent. So, yeah.
Oh, that would be amazing. Could you imagine the factory in Rosyth? Just like drones constantly.
your dad's a drone man.
He could
have done that. That right out
easily.
So
the driving stammer coming through, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Max had a good idea for that on its opening day, that we go and do an outside broadcast.
Yeah,
fuck, I'm down for that.
I'd spend the whole fucking day there. Amazing.
Just driving round in circles out the courtyard back in.
Have you had enough today?
No.
More Bridies, please.
Bridies,
what do you mean you're cutting me off?
No one cuts me off.
It's when you're staggering through it. That is Bridey.
You reckon you could get Bridey drunk?
Like you start the day like 12 stone, fully healthy, and then you come out 16 stone with diabetes.
But in no way are we saying that it's an unhealthy product.
Oh, no.
We're just saying everything in moderation.
What we're saying is
that sponsorship comes through.
What we're saying is, since you stole Steak Bridey Friday from me and Kutch Stevens, the least you could do is sponsor our podcast. Come on.
Saying that, I've got 2 free Bridies in my back pocket at the moment that I need to claim.
Free Bridey? Oh, from
Yeah, from Steak Bridey Friday.
Oh my god.
I never told you how much I loved you, Kutch.
Hey, I quit my job. As soon as I scratched that one, I was like, hey, I'm a winner in life.
So where is this? Where is this
Baldridge Burn? It's where the old garage used to be up in Baldridge Burn.
Ah, right. Yeah. Okay, I know where you are. Broomhead Drive just comes down a bit and then go up and
Left. Yeah.
There's a lot of traffic going out there as well. So and there's not a Stevens near there.
No,
so
it's quite a good idea. Also, you say that they nicked, you know, our idea for Steak Bridey Friday. They did also nick mine and Beatty's idea of getting a franchise and opening up a drive-through up at Fife Leisure Park.
Because
that was definitely like, could it be done? I think that could be done. And nobody would go to McDonald's or KFC anymore.
I was also going to say, my idea was always that, why is there not a Stephens that stays open at night?
That's right, exactly. That's what I was about to say. Or even
the one in Rosyth, but it's because it's public there.
You could have a porta sort of van thing.
Yeah
exactly.
I know,
like an ice cream van, but like an oven.
Yeah.
It's like, why have they never had anybody selling, like,
in Harlem. You know, get a wee franchise in Harlem.
My God.
A wee vendor still in Harlem.
My
like,
God.
I remember, like, when I was in Aberdeen, there was a nightclub up there, Amadeus.
Yeah.
There was a kebab shop. It was fucking amazing. Called Sizzlers.
Sizzlers is so good. Their burgers are,
yeah,
oh
and
my
they
God.
Used to do their burgers and hot dogs. From a wee stand inside the nightclub, and they had a wee franchise stall there. And
the Brixton Academy had the same, and so did a place near me called the Swan in Stockwell as well. They were rancid.
There was fatties as well in Dundee, did hot dogs.
Yeah. And honestly, how well would that go down, at Stevens, or even the one in the town centre?
Like, yeah, just that little. It's
the
little
wee one.
Yeah. All you need to do is just like even just open a hatch,
and you can up the price to cover your cost for a guy on security. They could easily add 50p onto everything, and folk will go in there and buy it at that time of night.
How much would you discerning price right now?
Uh-huh.
You're sitting there with some money in your pocket, and you want to eat something on your way home after a few drinks at the commercial for us because we're older people now.
Yeah.
How much would you pay for a bridie?
£3.
I'd pay £5.
Well, probably, yeah. Actually, I think or a full maybe a meal deal for a fiver.
Yeah, I think
a meal deal for a fiver.
Yeah, get a bottle of water as well. It's socially responsible.
Bottle of water, steak bridie, and a fudge donut.
No glass bottles.
No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. No. But
I reckon a bridie and a bottle of water for a fiver would absolutely decimate every single other late night food place.
Maybe they're not allowed to open because of that.
Yeah, probably they've tried. Never like it's like Istanbul. Yeah. Just like no, we object on these grounds.
It'd ruin us. Because like that was a like, good thing about Dundee was Clark's.
Yeah.
Clark's was bang average,
it was open 24 hours, which was the beautiful thing about it.
Well, can I go into my Desert Island Dicks?
Yeah.
In this? So, I was actually not going to go for Clark's, the 24-hour bakery in Dundee. I was going to bring to the island a cheese and bacon wrap from... Oh, God, I forgot its name.
From...
The baker up the road from us.
Baker's Oven.
Baker's Oven.
Oh.
Because when you're hungover, it's the greasiest thing you can get from a baker's, which is fucking great. And it's better. It's not... Listeners, like your cheese and bacon wrap from fucking Stevens
which has tomato in it
for a start, so it's not what you want in a hangover, like tomato puree. You know what I mean? They used to do the greasiest one ever, and it was amazing.
It was brilliant.
It's actually one of the few things that Greg's does better than Stevens.
Mm.
Cheese and bacon wrap, because they do it with they use mozzarella's, I think, as well.
Well, see, the baker's oven was Greg's. Mind.
Yeah,
because Greg's bought them over, but then they kept that one as a baker's oven for ages.
Because nowhere else used to do it.
No.
Like years ago, and now everywhere does it.
There was a baker's oven in the town.
Greg's bought them out.
Aye.
But they kept the one in Dundee, like just up from us, as a baker's oven for ages. It was only like about 2007 or something.
Yeah.
When we were moving away from Dundee, that they changed it into a Greg's.
So good. Yeah, it was.
I quite like that. I didn't have that one, but Pret a Manger, very famous, famous chain owned by McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
Are they by McDonald's?
Yeah,
I don't know that. Yeah.
But they used to do two very similar ones. So they had, they were like croissants, basically, but they were cheese and ham or cheese and tomato, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very greasy as well. And like on that hangover morning.
Croissants as well, yeah.
But I mean, I would never go for that for a hangover. I would go for a bacon roll probably over that. But at the same time, I see where you're going with that.
So speaking of Pret a Manger, I saw a guy retweet an article, this article saying, if millennials want to buy houses, we have to stop buying sandwiches. But then someone broke it down and was like, this was the average wage back then. This is the average wage now compared to house prices. You know, it's 10 times compared to average wage.
It's some metropolitan frippery that we're buying sandwiches and coffees.
And they were like, average meal price, £3. Yeah. Trying to save up for a mortgage by not eating. It would be like 100 and something years.
Yeah.
You know, it's just...
Well, it's that sort of thing where, like from the 50s, your average house was like... three times your yearly wage.
Yeah.
And then it's just, it was fairly steady up until Thatcher, and then it went fucking haywire.
Tax for land. Tax it so hard.
And also, like, mine is an upstairs flat, so I wouldn't get taxed on the land because mine is technically floating.
our very own tax avoider.
Why do you want to pay tax? Because my house is floating.
When your house is floating, is that what non-domiciled means?
Yeah. Very much, very much.
Be aware of that. Jamie might get his heavies on you for that. That plantation won't pay for itself.
For your house. Just like the library, our tax is blood if you don't
They just kill you with paper cuts for not returning.
It's funny because I forgot to return the book one day, and then I'm pretty sure I saw your mum, she saw a baseball bat just outside my window.
She's still got the bat. They wouldn't let her off.
She didn't even know you had a book.
She just suspected. But yeah, there's actually a room in Dunfermline Carnegie Library which is just basically a wet room with a drain in it where they just where if you fail to return or lose the books, they just basically paper cut you until you bleed out in there.
Death by a thousand cuts.
Yeah, quite
literally. My god.
The thing is as well is that even if they decide not to kill you, but they're just taking their
they're
owed in blood.
Yeah.
Paper cuts will heal quite nicely as well because they're so thin. They, you won't see them.
Still, yeah. So. Exactly. There's just a ransacked copy of Dan Brown. Digital Fortress with the pages ripped out.
So it's like for every page that you've got per book, they're just going to do every page on you.
My God.
So you need to have a really small book for your best chance of survival.
I think mine was quite hefty. I think it was at least 300 to 400 pages, if not more.
Hear that, ladies? Jamie's a reader.
I mean, like, if you get the complete works of Shakespeare in one book, you're fucked.
Oh, God. War and Peace.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I thought about getting War and Peace because I've never read it, but I just thought it was such an obvious thing to get from a library I've never gotten. So you'd be like, awesome, dickhead taking out War and Peace.
Let me just tell you right now. It is terrible.
Really?
It is. I didn't get through. You're probably more patient than I am. Obviously, I'm an impatient man. This has come out a lot in the podcast. But, oh, God, that was just fucking tedious as a book.
It's Tolstoy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Christian anarchist, such a weird political position, but it exists.
But so, and back to your bacon and cheese wrap, though. Where are we going to cook it? Do we have an oven?
Oh, it comes cooked, mate.
Does it? Oh, it arrives on George's drones.
You've brought it cooked. Yeah. It's the one thing
an albatross brings it in its mouth.
To be fair, you are on a desert island with, I'm presuming, some trees. You could make a fire out of that. You know, you've got glasses on. You could use those as a way.
Hot or cold, I don't want to pay the extra wee bit of money. I'll just fucking...
Also, Freddy Krueger's prepping in his kitchen.
Yeah, exactly. Freddy's got whipped up a ratatouille, though. He looks disappointed when you want the cheese and ham wrap. Yeah. Freddy, like, seriously, mate, like, really appreciate the effort you've gone there. Like, that's lovely. I don't know where you got the aubergines. Like, I don't know where you got them. But this is great. You've got to have one of these wraps.
It's just not what I'm in the mood for right now, Freddy.
And you'd have to have like two each, because then you have to have one for yourself and then have one for that honey badger that's coming after.
That's for tax on the island. Honey badger are fucking happy. Oh, mate.
See, honey badger's the tax man.
He's the attax man. Come on, is this on?
I was trying to make an exercise joke. Make it work.
So I was just thinking, he'll attack your feet.
What?
He's the attack man. Whoa. Anyway.
I've literally no idea where Kutch has gone with that. He's gone to a tangent. He's gone to another place.
It's a Beatles reference.
Yeah. Attack man. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
He's an attack man.
Oh, right, okay. Oh.
He'll attack your feet.
So, like, I'll go back into my contribution as well. Everyone's thinking savoury. I've gone sweet.
Oh.
I've gone sweet for my pastry. And Freddy Krueger plays a very important role in what I'm going to suggest. I'm going to suggest something that Freddy Krueger can't hold in his giant knife. So that he can't steal it off me.
Okay.
But I'm going to...
You're in there. You're choosing. You're sitting there. You're choosing. What do you go for? Do you go for a? Do you go for just a normal door ring?
Uh-huh.
A classic jam donut.
Mm.
A fudge donut, which is excellent. Language. Or, well, you could go for a French cake.
Uh-huh.
Or a frog cake.
Uh-huh.
But no, you see it. It glimmers there with a white top.
I know what you're going for.
I know what you're shining at the top. It just like one brief bit of the attendant's hand, and he just wibbles a little. Oh yeah, oh yeah. He's a custard slice.
Beautiful.
I mean, there is like almost. I don't know if anywhere else in the world does a custard. Like you get millefeuille and everything like that in France, and they have various little like. What pastinatas?
Yeah,
uh-huh. In Portugal, yep. Portuguese ones. Like, but does anybody do that? Little layer of pastry, giant slab of custard.
It's so ridiculous.
Bit of pastry, icing on the top.
I do love a custard slice.
The only thing is
that you have to eat it. You have to have it after your can of Iron Brew, because otherwise your Iron Brew just tastes like soda water. It's so ridiculous and sugary.
The actual high that you get of eating it as well.
Here's a question for you. Like, a preference from bakers. Did Greg's do one? I don't know if Greg's do one. Greg's do a custard slice.
Less generous on the custard.
Stevens or Baines?
I don't even know what Baines is. That's how strongly I feel.
I live in a village with a Baines, and I'd pick Stevens.
See, I think Baines is better.
Really?
I think you get a bit more custard and it's a bit sweeter.
I don't know. I haven't had a custard slice not from Stevens in such a long time. I can't compare. You get a lot of fucking custard.
but it's almost impossible to eat, though.
It's everywhere.
The one thing I didn't worry about...
You end up sucking it out your hands.
Yeah. Well, I've eaten it various times. I'm not going to lie, guys. And I don't know if you're going to judge me as less of a man for this. But I sometimes take a knife and a fork.
Oh, what? No. Yeah.
See, my solution is, A, if I have a big beard, you can't eat a custard slice. It's just impossible. So it's a definite, if you're going home to have your Stevens, then that's the only time I'll get a custard slice, because otherwise it's just impossible.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm thinking as well. Like, on the island as well, you bite into it, the custard comes out either side, but you want to get the custard back, but obviously your hands are covered in sand. What if the sand's going to stick into the custard? You're going to bite into this. It's going to be terrible. So a custard slice, but I'm going to need a fork and a knife, and I'm going to need a plate as well to eat this bad boy.
I can see your point, because, you know, if it does spill out and it starts, you know, hitting the ground of your or little encampment, it's how you get ants.
It's very
true. Do you want ants?
Yeah, because this is how you get ants.
Yeah, no, I'm bang up. Do you know what they used to do? And actually, this is two brief diversions for me. That you used to get an apple version of the fudge donut.
Yeah, you did.
Which was apple filled, like Bramley apple filled inside the donut with a bit of.
To be fair, I wasn't a big fan of it. So.
Well, I know because
disgust me.
Places like Asda and Tesco do their apple cinnamon donuts, which are kind of similar.
Yeah, yeah.
And
They've not got the custard on at all.
Speaking of Asda, Yum Yums.
Yeah,
they're very good.
Yeah, a Yum Yum's quite tasty. It's just a straight donut, but well.
Yeah, twisted one.
Very twisted donut.
But that's like my mate is his parents were. Persian.
All right, I thought you were going to say like donut fanatics.
No, but oh my god, their cooking was so fucking good. But they made like stuff like Yum Yums, but better.
Mm.
I don't know how to describe them. They were that sort of light, you know, sort of. It's almost like puff pastry, but it's not puff pastry.
Uh-huh.
Oh my god, so fucking good. Behind you, year round at Bears, amazing. Just go for a food. It's so fucking good.
But I joked briefly when I said that I didn't know what Baines is, but I walk past Baines every morning. And do you know, one day a week or 2 days a week, that in the front of the shop, there is a tray of Mr. Blobby shaped cakes. No joke. They are still making Mr. Blobby shaped cakes.
Wow.
We've got to compete with frog cakes somehow.
Yeah. But I mean, that's mad, isn't it? It's like, I think it might be like some kind of donut yum yum type contraption, but pink and with Mr. Blobby strip.
Kids have no idea who Mr. Blobby is. Exactly. So it must be adults buying it.
And also, well, the copyright's probably well and truly over on that one, I would suggest as well. But I only know because my friend looks like Mr. Blobby. So. He does. He absolutely does.
Speaking of, we're going to get snowmen soon in Stevens. Stevens,
yeah. Yeah. Well, I had a wee red devil 2 weeks
for Halloween.
For Halloween, yeah. It was quite good. Posted on the old frog.
I saw.
Frog Cake Appreciation Society.
Was that John Groot that started that? Was it Graham Justice?
It's Graham and Ruth.
Oh, was it Graham and, was it?
Yeah. Okay. They're admins. Sorry, anyway. They're both admins. But yeah, that's a great group. If anybody in the Dunfermline area, or anybody that likes Stevens, Facebook, Stevens Frog Cake Appreciation Society.
Beautiful.
Like, it doesn't have a lot of traffic. It doesn't have a lot of traffic going to these days.
You're in a Stevens truck in the end. Yeah. Like a pile of Brady's on one end that you're trying to get, and it's like feeding off the cliff. It just pans out. Yeah. That's the end of it. Sorry.
End of the film. It's a great page to check because, yeah, it is people posting up the frog cakes and their variations and scoring them and judging them, and yeah. It's a nice little positive slice of Dunfermline.
Before you guys go into yours, can I ask a question to you, Kutch, directly?
Uh-huh.
This is one of these moments where I feel like a really bad Aberdeen fan, right?
Right, okay.
Because, you know, I've supported Aberdeen since I was about 5 years old or something like that.
Yep.
Love the club, love the history, all that chat. The problem is, on all the fans forums, the thing I don't understand is when they go on about Rowies and Butteries.
You're a man
who's lived in the Northeast. I have never tasted a buttery
really?
Or a Rowie.
Oh.
And I don't really know what they are.
You've got a supermarket down there that sell Butteries.
Dude, really?
Yes. Yes.
Well, what is a Buttery?
A Buttery is like a short pastry, not quite a roll.
Yeah, it's kind of like a mix between a crumpet and a short pastry thing.
Yeah, short.
If you imagine a crumpet with butter in it,
yeah,
not the actual texture of the crumpet,
it's loaded.
You know
how
it's loaded with butter if you put loads of butter into it, but it's short pastry. It's really hard to describe. But oh my god,
they're salty. It's really savoury, but
that is a hangover cure and a half. Oh,
Asda, I think. They just make them mass produced. Tesco buy theirs in from one of the bakers in Aberdeen.
I didn't know they did butteries.
Oh yeah,
at supermarkets.
Yeah.
Holy shit! I'm gonna get
because the thing is like it that surprises me because I've had butteries since I was wee because my mum and my dad and my gran and all that used to buy butteries from the supermarkets. But a rowie is basically a roll. Essentially, it's just, I think it's a wee bit flatter than your normal morning roll. There was a 24-hour bakery, in Aberdeen. But there was also, newsagents that were just around the corner from us because you had to take a taxi out to the bakery. Or the newsagents just around the corner from us that was 24 hours as well and used to get in the butteries. So you would go up, you would go and get your paper or whatever you were getting. And in a big basket on the counter was just basket full of butteries. And it was like 15p a buttery. It was just like, doink, yoink, they're about coaster sized, basically. But yeah, yoink, yoink, yoink. And they were quite often like so fresh, they were still hot and like they hadn't gone.
When you get them really fresh, just so insanely good. Oh, fucking so brilliant. I remember my first, I think Mike Robertson taking me to have them and having me hungover, and it's like, Jesus Christ, these are incredible.
I think for the next episode, I'm going to get some butteries to see how you enjoy a buttery.
Yeah, no, I'm well up for it. I'll feel like I'm just connecting more with my club.
Yeah. Ah, Aberdeen.
Just like
very, very greasy. Yeah.
So what are you boys bringing to the desert?
So,
what are you boys bringing to the party?
I'm going to go sweet as well. Now we were talking there. You went through a list of things. Your sugar ring.
Yeah.
Your jam filled.
Yeah.
Now, I do have a special place in my heart for the fudge donut.
We all do. We all do.
It's the classic combination.
Brady,
fudge donut, iron brew.
If your order differs from that in Stevens, like, I can accept that you're having a little bit of a holiday. Like, maybe you just want to try something different.
Or it's a cry for help.
Yeah.
My cry for help is what I'm going to bring to the island with me. It's a desperate time. You need something that's maybe just a bit more life affirming than the old fudge donut.
I know what you're going to do.
I'm going to go for the apple turnover.
Oh, I'm not a fan of the apple turnover.
But do you want to know what the apple turnover is?
Why do you hate apple?
I like apple. I like apple pie. Eve? I like Thomas.
Keeping this religious.
Her problem is she liked apples too much.
She did.
Yeah.
So the thing with the apple turnover, and it's the way I like to think about it, is you've got your steak bridie, which is your savoury. Apple turnover is just a sweet steak bridie. It's the same shape, it's the same size.
I think that's why I don't like it.
And it's, instead of filled with meat, it's filled with delicious applesauce.
I thought you were going to say it was filled with lies.
I'm going to doubt you on their credentials there, Kutch. I wonder if it's a sweet calzone.
Well, but then...
Because surely to fill that, you have your bit of pastry on the bottom and you turn it over.
Yeah.
Literally, which is a calzone.
Yeah, well...
That's a good point.
Yeah, it is an apple turnover, so... Yeah.
And then you ice the top of it.
Yeah.
Because there's not enough fucking sugar in those apples.
But then that's also where you put cheese on top of a calzone as well.
So yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you maybe got a point there. But generally, I do like to think of it is that you walk out with two things the same size, and yeah. One of them's, you know, usually your sweets are a little smaller, just something, you know, you've got two meaty, mighty.
And if you get them cold as well, in the bag, unless there's a weight difference, but there's a little bit of one am I going to open?
Now, if you open up the apple turnover first.
Yeah.
You just go for it.
No, you do not.
Depends. Have you taken a bite out of it?
No, because it would ruin your bridie. Sweet.
Yeah, if you can't take a bite out of it, then yeah, swap back over. Yeah, if you take a bite out of it, you're going to have to commit now. You can't just leave it.
Oh, I don't know if that would be the most disappointing thing in the world.
No,
next to getting a fucking mince in your bridie when you order a steak bridie.
Do you know what's really disappointed me tonight?
What's that?
Is the answer to how do you like them apples, Jamie, is don't like apples.
I do like apples. I don't like apple turnovers or apple donuts.
Do you even like apple man?
Is that banana man's mate?
Yeah.
What do you have against fruit-based devices?
Oh.
Everything.
Yeah.
Just hate fruit, Jamie. That's all it is.
What, even use an Apple Mac?
But yeah, no, I would totally take one because I think they're just a little bit different, but there's also a little bit more substance to it.
Except they're more robust.
So,
like, if you're transporting it in the pocket, your apple turnover is not... Like, let's be fair. If you're carrying in your pocket either an apple turnover... Or a custard slice.
Uh-huh.
I know which one's all over your fucking pocket. Yeah. Put your hand in there. It's like, oh God, it's happened again, hasn't it?
Oh God.
I didn't learn from the first time. Fuck.
Either someone's stolen my kidney and I'm putting my hand right in, or my custard slice is gone. Yeah. But the
fact that it could be either or as well.
Win some, lose some, innit?
Don't fair one. I think we're going to be on the island. I want something that's going to maybe be a bit more substantial. So I'm going to take the apple turnover.
Nice.
I've got a feeling that it would go less stale less quickly as well.
I think so as well. Yeah.
I've got a feeling like you could leave because that. Well, I do think the same of a custard slice though. I definitely know this is proven because I've definitely left a custard slice out for at least 24 hours and got back to it with absolutely no ill effects whatsoever.
Not even starting to dry out a little.
A little drier. But you know.
Yeah. It's like crusty custard.
Yeah, a little bit, but custard only goes so crusty.
I mean, just as a last comment, this for me, I mean, an apple turnover a day keeps the doctor away. I think we can all agree with that. Either that or gives you heart disease. One of the two.
Well, that's...
It's one of your five a day, mate.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to argue that.
No.
Yeah, fine. Do you think, like, that's a good health benefit? That's definitely good.
Do you think if you replace the steak brighties with mince and onion brighties, there's enough onion in the mince and onion brighty to be your one a day as well?
Definitely.
Like one of your 5 days, so you can have two of your five.
How many of those would you have to eat, though, to even count it as one?
One. That's what we're saying. It's your one.
All right, you mean like, all right, yeah. I get you there.
Surely, there's enough. Can we get boat insurance anymore, guys? I just kind of wondered this. I just sort of saying that. Does this mean we're never allowed to have a canal boat all day?
Bouncing off the sides.
Yeah. How did you end up in the Atlantic?
You're only supposed to go down the river.
So James, what would you bring?
Well, I've been to many bakeries in my time. I have travelled to many different kinds, but there has been none that I have discovered since going to Fort William. There's a little bakery called the Nevis Bakery, and they do something delightful. They do a steak and black pudding pie.
Oh
my lord.
Wait a minute.
So
I have a feeling that we went in there, me and Mags, when we were bringing your van back down from a wedding. Because we stopped in Inverness to do...
Inverness? No, you didn't.
No, we stopped in Fort William, sorry.
Yeah.
Fort William. And we... I can't remember what we were doing. We were handing stuff in back... Kilts.
Kilts, yeah.
And then, we went to a place and, I think that was on the menu.
Those are a taste sensation.
There is one other place where I have had... Well, there's steak and haggis. In fact, steak and haggis...
Yes.
Is... Stephen's do steak and haggis pies.
Yeah.
But Moore Bakery in Callander do steak and haggis, a black pudding and haggis, and a steak and black pudding.
Yeah.
It is pie as well.
It is so delightful, isn't it? It is one of the best things. Get that nice little Stornoway black pudding if you're up in the Highlands as well. Like,
I will accept nothing less than a Stornoway black pudding.
I didn't bring any back with me.
But what's the point?
Nine hours on public transport. I didn't really fancy how it would look.
Which
would be better? 9 hours of public transport, a custard slice, or black pudding?
Black pudding's covered.
It is covered.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's more about the heat. And
No,
that kind of thing. That I was just a bit like, I don't want.
I reckon I'd risk it.
It's worth it.
Yeah,
it's worth the E. coli, mate.
Yeah,
whatever.
The reward is greater than the risk. Right, still going, that's right, I was waiting for that to go. But the reward is greater than the rest. But for me, I'm quite a big guy, I quite like my meat, I've got a bit of a savoury tooth, so I was like, I'm going to take some more meat with me.
It's a good rationale. Also, just use it for like luring off the many predators. We've got some kind of like Siberian tiger, we've got a honey badger.
We've got a honey badger, a tiger, we've got Jamie's heavies we've got to feed somehow. I want to try and avoid working in the plantation as much as possible.
That's I can only keep them on carrots so long. They'll crave more.
They need more.
Their skin's gone all orange because they're on a carrot diet.
They're getting the taste for flesh. Take the pies, just take them all. So that's my ace in the hole. If things go south, I can just give them pies. I'm not getting my brighties, fuck that.
Brother. We will die before we give up.
I haven't had a Stevens in a while. This is making me want to go to see this so much tomorrow. Jesus.
Oh, you totally need to sponsor this show.
Yeah.
I would completely sell my dignity just to have free steak brighties for the rest of my days.
Even just like a month's supply. Maybe just one.
I'd like to see
I've got two in my pocket.
You get golden tickets from Mr. Stephen and you get... Take it down to the...
exactly.
I got Oompa Loompas working.
Oh, that's whenever you go down.
They definitely do have Oompa Loompas working.
I've seen them. I've seen them. They come firing out a little hatch and then fire stick brighties into the... into the displays.
It is when you get off, like when you drive down to Rosyth first thing in the morning at 6 a.m. the number 19 just deposits out there from Rose Lane. they just get like fire out of there into the bakery
singing songs.
Why are you so fucking cheerful?
Because they're off their face on drugs, mate.
You know, instead of a river of chocolate, it is a river of steak gravy.
Oh,
God.
You're sitting there like just lapping it up. So salty. Oh, so meaty.
It's the one thing I think that I wouldn't like to work in a bakery, though.
I think, you know that bit where like you work somewhere and it kind of ruins the whole thing for you?
Yeah.
I reckon that would be terrible.
Although I don't know.
That's happened to kitchens I've worked in. It's
I think if you were, I think if you were like on, potentially on the production line or part of the, I don't know. That might
no, be. I mean, I know, I knew a guy who worked in a sweet factory, Kakadi, hated it because you just don't want sweets at all.
Yeah.
No.
See, whereas I think I'd quite like working in a butcher's.
Yeah.
But I think that's... there's enough variance, and I think you're, I think most people that are that sort of like line are very passionate about it.
Well, that's like, it's very much a craft thing, though, isn't it? It's about learning your trade. And...
Yeah.
Well, in the past, when I was unemployed and I saw a job, like one of the butchers in town, was like, apply then. I was like, holy shit, I might do that. Got my CV together the next day, went past what he'd taken the sign down. Yeah. Like, he'd already got someone in. Yeah. Like,
yeah. I think
but that'd be good though, it is like a craft thing as well. Yeah.
But I mean, like, it's because it's something I know I can do, and I find a certain peace when I'm doing any kind of butchery. And I think it's because it's that element where it's the compartmentalization. You just shut off that bit that would make you go, maybe make you go, what the fuck am I doing?
I remember trying to explain this to a friend, like this sort of Zen thing almost, of like, she was doing a dissertation on, I can't remember what it's called, but it's basically older men don't socialise and don't meet new people, so we sit there alone, so we get them together in these big tents and do woodwork.
The
idea is you talk to them, they get to talk to people, but it's good for mental health.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, but it'll be good for mental health, just like, forget about the talking to people part.
Yeah.
Just doing woodwork is massively soothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like doing stuff and sort of at the same time utterly thinking about it and not thinking about it. You know,
But that's
same sort of thing.
Yeah, it's totally that thing, because it's a process. There's a, you know, there's a way to do things, but especially like if it's birds that I'm doing, if it's like pheasants and duck and whatnot, it's the same thing over and over, and I could have a couple and I would just get into the rhythm of it, and it is that sort of like you just totally log out and just get on with it. You have to get on with it.
Yeah.
So like I have the same thing about cooking, but I don't have it. I wouldn't. I don't know. I'm all right at doing some bits and pieces like fish and like some bits of meat, but I think more involved bits, I think I would be too squeamish about. Like, in fact, I definitely would be. I don't know. Like, I'd maybe give it.
I always say, like, people would be surprised. I mean, again, if there's any actual vegans listening, they're probably having horrific nightmares at this conversation. Mm. But yeah, I mean, if you eat meat, I've always had the opinion that at some point you should face up to what you're eating.
Definitely.
I think you should have that experience. And if you're not willing, you're a bad person.
we did that show years ago, Kill It, Cook It, Eat It, didn't we? That was really cool.
That's
really interesting to watch.
I mean,
as well.
It's like I say, I think you should face that mortality thing and whatnot. But yeah, I think a lot of people would be surprised at what they're capable of doing when they're presented with the situation.
Yeah, definitely. It's things like pig's heads and things like that. I just like, I don't know, like, even watching MasterChef and things like that. There's some bits on MasterChef at the moment and the skills challenges and things. I'm just a bit like, don't know.
I do love it though, Oink in Edinburgh. The pulled pork before pulled pork was cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and they'd have the pigs.
But they're hog roast.
Yeah, hog roast. They were hog roast.
Yeah.
A hog roast place where you can get fucking haggis and...
Yeah, and your applesauce and...
Yeah, on the other side.
And black
like
pudding.
Well, just put it in pastry and eat icing.
One of my exes used to live just down the road from it, and so I'd walk back to the train station, usually, you know, every second weekend, every weekend. Like, oh my god. It was like, oh yeah, so I'll just have this.
But you'd walk past the window.
Then you'd walk past the cheesemonger.
Oh,
then
right,
be hungover and be like, oh my god!
Oh, Mellis.
Whereas I'm usually in Walker Slater just up the road, eyeing up tweed jackets.
if it wasn't True.
Definitely get enough full tweeds for it.
Right.
This is why we're doing Fight Club Fit Club. So I can buy a tweed suit.
Mate, you would have loved the Harris Tweed Shop. Yes, down
I would. I would be fucking bankrupt.
Well, yeah, jackets were about £300 a go. Mind you, my kilt one's Harris. Is it Harris Tweed? It's tweed of some kind, anyway.
Yeah, it's
a cool jacket.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. And if Harris Tweed want to sponsor it.
Anyway.
I'd love a sofa, actually.
Harris Tweed sofa. Yeah. My God, that would cost you, like, I don't even want to think.
£2,000?
Really, is that what you see? Oh, jeez,
yeah, seen it.
Jeez,
leather bits of upholstery, but with Harris Tweed as the...
It is expensive, but then when you see what goes into making it, it's all totally like quite literally amazing. Handcraft or foot crafted, because it's quite often a little pedal bike type thing they have. But mental. Yeah. And it takes like hours and hours and hours for just like one length of a material. It's cool how they make it though.
Yeah. Also the fact that they have like such a level of understanding of colours and things like that, and patterns and things like that. Because like I kind of tend to think of a couple of things, Harris Tweed kind of classic bits, but actually they do such a range of stuff now.
Yeah.
It's incredible what they do now.
Yeah, definitely.
Big fans.
Big, big fan. In fact, I have a Harris Tweed wallet.
Nice! He does. Kutch has got a very fat wallet, actually. Possibly we don't need that Patreon. Or Kutch has already set one up and not telling us about it.
Has Stephen been paying you for this episode?
No, it's just all my ridiculous amount of like loyalty store cards.
Yeah, he says that as
thousands of pounds
vouchers of for Stephen's cascading out his wallet.
I think it's really big because he's made a fool's mistake of keeping a custard slice in his wallet.
Oh my word.
Wet. Well, will we get off this fucking island?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, time.
We'll try to. Yeah, good. Right. Jamie, let's give us some
social.
Yes, Miss Money Penny, give me some socials.
Here's your socials. So, speak to us on facebook.com/fiveclubpod or our Five Club Twitter @FiveClub. Email ken@fiveclub.co.uk. Instagram Five. There's not enough shushing this. Instagram Five Club or www.fiveclub.co.uk. Shh.
Why did you sound like Kyle?
Kyle, if you're listening, I did sound a bit like you, but you're not that bad.
You only sound half like Sean Connery.
I wasn't even doing Sean Connery. I don't know what I was doing.
Half Kyle, half Sean Connery.
Yeah, that's just Kyle.
Shyle.
Although Sean Connery, if you are listening, it'd be great to have you do the socials for us.
Don't know, domestic.
Wife,
only with the front of the hand, never with an open hand. Do we not remember that? Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
have you not seen it? You've seen it.
I've seen it, yeah. Yes.
Pancreas rules.
Yeah. Holy hell.
Jesus Christ. Right. Yeah. Well, it does bring me to that time of the night where I have to ask James, what is the motto this week?
Follow the 4 Ds of the day. Don't put a custard slice in your pocket. Don't talk about Christmas too soon. Don't accuse Roy Woods of sexual harassment on Christmas Day. Do praise the baby Jesus sausage roll.
I like that level of professionalism.
You started off a podcast bad with joy, and then you brought it back with that. That was beautiful.
Yeah, good.
I'm pleased with that.
Thanks very much.
You've really calmed down my opinion of you.
Night.
Night.